Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Anchored in the Word, and we are looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll read the entire section, verses 1 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I hope you can take your Bibles out and join us. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'll begin reading in verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not to deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses of God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Boy, this is a wonderful passage of Scripture, especially if you're someone who regularly ministers in the Word to people. If you're a pastor, if you're a dad who leads your family in family worship, this passage of Scripture is really practical. And so what I'd like to do this morning is begin with just a summary statement of this passage. And basically, a summary of the passage is that Paul wants these Christians to understand that though he's gone through difficulty, and though he's been charged with false accusations about the way he's done ministry, he has been faithful, he has loved them, and his motives have been pure before God. And so in order to see that laid out, let's look at a couple of simple observations from this passage and then try to be practical in how we apply it. Observation number one, in spite of the initial difficulties that Paul and his team encountered, they had an effective ministry in Thessalonica. In verses 1 and 2, he says, our entrance was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now, in those verses, Paul refers back to what took place at Philippi. And we know that in Philippi, Paul was falsely accused. He was thrown into prison. And we see the story of him with the Philippian jailer, basically singing in the prison with Silas. And God sends an earthquake and the doors are open and the jailer is afraid for his life. He thinks that people have gotten away. And Paul and Silas say, don't kill yourself. Everybody's here. We're okay. And that man says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul explains to him the gospel. And Paul goes to his house and he explains the gospel to his entire household. And that night, the jailer and his family embrace the gospel. They get baptized. He takes care of Paul and Silas. But the truth is that Paul was mistreated at Philippi. And not only was he mistreated at Philippi, but when he came to Thessalonica, there were people who were bringing false accusations against him as well. And so Paul is going to kind of clear those charges. He's going to address those issues. And he's going to talk about the kind of minister he was. But we begin with this important fact that though Paul faced tremendous hardship, he was faithful and an effective ministry. Second observation is that Paul contrasted his principled approach to ministry with the swirling accusations that were leveled against him. Paul is going to talk about the fact that he was a principled minister. The way that he served people was unquestionably appropriate. And I want you to see the way that he puts it. In verse 3, our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. In other words, we did not minister with any kind of impure motive. We weren't trying to trick anyone. We were absolutely straightforward in what we were doing and how we did it. In verse 4, he says, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. Paul was saying, look, the way that I did ministry was not for any kind of personal gain. The reason that I served and that I preached and that I labored night and day, it's because I was driven by a desire to please Christ. It wasn't about even pleasing the people around me, even the people that I was ministering to. Though they were the recipients of the blessing, my primary focus was not even on them. It was definitely not on myself. It was on giving glory to God. Verse 5, he says, neither at any time use we flattering words or a cloak of covetousness. Paul said, I never wanted to manipulate people so that I could somehow get some kind of financial gain out of what I was doing. In fact, it's possible when Paul talks about how he labored night and day, that he's basically saying, look, I worked with my hands to provide for myself and to provide for the people around me. And whenever I had free time, I was giving the gospel. In other words, Paul said, I stayed up late, I got up early, I worked hard, and I didn't want to be a burden to anybody. I wanted to make sure that what I did was appropriate and completely above board. And so he said, I didn't flatter people. I didn't say things that were untrue because I was trying to get in their good graces so that they would feel bad for me and so that they would take care of me physically. Paul was principled in how he did ministry. The last thing that he mentions is in verse 6. He says, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Paul is emphasizing the fact that he was an apostle. As an apostle, that meant that he had authority, biblical authority. You know, when a pastor ministers in the word, he has authority. Now, his authority only goes as far as the scriptures. But Paul had authority on an even greater level because he wasn't just preaching the scriptures. He was writing the scriptures. He was God's spokesman. He spoke on behalf of Christ. And he says, I could have been overbearing in my ministry. I could have used that authority and that clout. But he said, you know what? I didn't want glory from people. I wasn't trying to promote myself. I just simply wanted to minister humbly. And so he talks about the fact that he has been very principled in how he's done his ministry. And really that's a contrast with the accusations that were leveled against him. The third observation I have is that not only was Paul principled in how he did ministry, but he was ministering from a deep-seated heart of love for these people. In other words, Paul wasn't just doing it because it was his duty and it was his work, but Paul was ministering from the heart with passion because he loved these people. And so in verse 7 he puts it this way, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. He was gentle and compassionate with the people. You know, you can't think of a more nourishing and loving and humbling picture than that of the mom taking care of her little baby. Here's this child who is completely helpless and dependent on its mother. And there's this warmth and there's this affection there. And Paul's saying, I ministered to you in that kind of a way. You were giving me nothing. There was nothing that I was benefiting from you. You were entirely dependent upon what I was saying for spiritual nourishment. And you know what? I ministered to you with gentleness, like a mom takes care of her children. In verse 8, he says, we were affectionately desirous of you, willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. And Paul was like, I wasn't distant in the way I did my ministry with you guys. It's not just that I was laboring and teaching you with authority, but I laid open my heart to you. I gave you my heart. And it's amazing when people have been wounded and they've gone through difficulty, when they've been falsely accused, a lot of times, and I say myself included here, a lot of times we have a hard time opening our hearts to people. We have a hard time being vulnerable with people. We have a hard time being willing to allow them to get close enough to us that there is really a close relationship. Paul wasn't like that. Paul's saying, look, I opened my heart to you guys. And even though he'd been a wounded minister, even though he'd been falsely accused, Paul was gracious and he was willing to be open to these people. Verse 9, he says, you remembered, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day. In other words, he was diligent and self-sacrificing in his ministry. Paul wasn't about self at all. He was about pleasing Christ and ministering to the people he loved. And the last thing he mentions is in verse 10. He says that you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you. He says, I was a diligent, good example, and worthy of imitation. So Paul's talked about his ministry. I want you to see, lastly, in our fourth observation, the way that Paul taught them. And he says this, I soberly charged you as a comforting father cares for his children. In verse 11, he says, we exhorted and we comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. You know, we have the picture of the mother who's nursing the child, and she's taking care of this little baby that is so vulnerable and so weak. And it's such a comforting and loving picture. On the other side, we have the father who has to be stern with his children, yet he also loves them as well. And the way that he expresses that love might not be quite in the same way that the mother who's nursing the child does, but the love is there and the care is there. And Paul says, look, I minister to you like the mother cares and like the father cares. And this is what he told them, verse 12. You need to walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. In other words, his charge was simple, yet extremely important. You need to walk in a way that is consistent with the position that you have in Christ. So we ask this final question. What is the practical application for these verses? Here's what I jotted down, and I hope that you'll think about this morning. The first is this. Christian ministers, even those who are principled and loving, can face unfounded accusations. Now, I'm not saying that all accusations against people who are in ministry are false. I'm not suggesting that at all. Sometimes people in ministry can be very undisciplined and can do things in an ungodly way. It's possible. But it's also possible on the other side that a person who loves Christ, who's serving faithfully, who loves the people that they're ministering to, will be falsely accused. And many times those false accusations will come from people who are antagonistic to the gospel, who are trying to thwart that work. A second thought is this. We should always conduct ourselves in a principled, loving manner so that these accusations don't stick. The truth is that you can't stop accusations from coming, but you can take those accusations that are hurled and you can demonstrate that they're unfounded, that they're not true. And the way that you do that is you just do what's right. You be faithful. You love the people around you. A person who is laboring in the word faithfully and lovingly over a period of time will demonstrate that those accusations aren't true. A third thing is this. We need to serve in a Godward, not selfward or otherward manner. When I say that, I'm saying our primary focus as ministers of the gospel in our service to God before others should not be for our own interests. And it is true that out of a love for people, you want to see them grow. But our primary focus when we serve should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether people grow and thrive or whether people struggle, we need to find our stability and our strength and our ultimate sense of joy and motivation in honoring God. And lastly, we need to maintain that delicate balance between warning and comforting when we minister to others. I love the picture that Paul uses. He uses the picture of the mother who's taking care of this little child. And he uses the picture of the father who has to be warning and stern, yet he also loves as well. In other words, Paul says when you minister in the word, you need to do it with balance, with compassion, with firmness. All of those factors that come into being a good leader, they ought to be there when we are working with people. I hope that these things will be an encouragement to you this morning. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. And it's been good to see some familiar faces on the live stream today. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to study the Bible together. I thank you for Paul's ministry, how he was faithful, how he was principled, how he genuinely loved the people, how he was willing to get close to them and open up himself to them so that they could follow his example, they could learn from his life. I pray that you'd help us to be a group of people who pattern this kind of godly leadership in our interpersonal relationships. As moms, dads, as pastors, as those who minister in the word, as those who are mentoring other people, may we have these godly patterns established in our own ministries. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see some faces this morning. If you missed the first part of this video, I hope that you'll check it out a little bit later. And I hope that you have a wonderful day. If you're not going to be checking out any live streams this evening, I do want to mention that Anchor Baptist Church will be having a special service this evening, and we will be focusing on the death of Christ. And it's going to be a time of a lot of scripture reading, a lot of singing of hymns, and a time of reflection on the work of Christ on the cross. So I hope that you can make it out to that, and I hope that that'll be a blessing to you. Have a great day. Bye.